Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 42 of our Year of the Bible journey, our travel through Holy Scripture, where we finally get to some traveling, some actual traveling on the road again. Day 42 is the day that finally, in Numbers 8 through 10, the actual Israelites actually get on the actual road again after much delay. So they've been at Mount Sinai for about a year. So they got away from the Egyptians, traveled around, and ended up at Mount Sinai at the bottom, like towards the south of the Sinai Peninsula. And they've been there for about a year. And a whole bunch of stuff has happened in that year, right? Like what? Like the entire book of Leviticus, like a whole bunch of the book of Exodus. So they've gotten the law. They've had the Levites set apart. I've been given instructions for the tabernacle. They have built the tabernacle. They have brought their offerings. They have been organized into little clans, right? Into the groups. And they've been there for about a year. And having been there for a year, in chapter 8, the Lord tells them, "Hey, it's time for the second time for Passover again. You guys, you got to do Passover." And sometimes people will say, "How could they have forgotten Passover?" And can I just say, like, because the Israelites are going, especially in the rest of the book, are going to be very problematic and have a lot of bad choices. They're going to make bad choices. But you know what? Honestly, it's the first one that they've done. It's like the first one that they've had to like do themselves, so to speak. And there's kind of a lot going on. So, you know, it's good that they do it. I personally am not going to throw a stone. Not with my failures of responsibility and stuff. I'm not gonna throw it. But anyway, God told them that, "Okay, buds, it's time to, it's time to celebrate the Passover again." There's that funny little, there's like a little, like, it's like sidebar. What do you do if you miss the Passover because you're unclean? Because you're ritually unclean, which, remember, was not a moral problem. It was just a, you know, practical problem. What if you're traveling during the Passover? What do you do? And the answer is, it's like if you're away or sick on your wife's birthday, which is that you still have to do it. You still have to celebrate it. You don't just get a pass, but you can do it later and no harm, no foul. So that's what they do. And then they make a bunch of trumpets because it's the trumpets that are going to go, that are going to call, you know, you got 12 clans, 12 groups. How many people? Hundreds of thousands? I don't know. Sometimes people say millions, depending on how you add up the numbers. But a whole bunch, and they get these great silver trumpets that they use to communicate, to call people to order, and to give instructions, and to get everybody when it's time to celebrate the Sabbath. You blow the horn and all that kind of stuff. Got some great horns there, made out of silver. And so they do that. And then, and only then, at long last, it's time for them to go. And how do they know that it's time to go? How are they going to know it's time to go for the next many years? And I just want, like, just put yourself there, right? Just put yourself there. You are in this gigantic, like, tent city, right? Hundreds of thousands of people, at least, a gigantic tent city. And right in the middle of this gigantic tent city is the tabernacle. It's the place where God lives, right? I mean, it's like, in a literal sense, it's the place where God lives, where you go to they call it the tent of meeting, right? Where you go to meet, where Moses goes to meet with God. The high priest goes to meet with God. Right in the middle of this big, huge tent city is there. And above the tabernacle, above this tent of meeting with the Lord, is a pillar of cloud at the daytime and a pillar of fire at the nighttime. And it's always there, right? It's always there. And then, for the first time, once everything's set, the pillar starts to move. The pillar of smoke The pillar of cloud starts to move. It sets off. And when the pillar of cloud starts to move, that's when the Israelites start packing up camp. They don't do it before, right? But once the cloud moves, then they start packing up. And they, remember the first part, we could say that the first part of Numbers is, we could subtitle it organization, second part disorganization, third part is reorganization. So this is still part of the organization part. And they leave, they set off, decently and in good order. Decently and in order, the tribe of Judah. So I posted on the website the picture, a sort of representation of the tent city, right, of the gathering, and it showed like who, what tribes on what side. And Judah, the tribe of Judah, is on the right hand side, and they're the ones that lead off first. And so the scripture narrates the way, our reading for today, like sort of narrates how Judah, under the leadership of son of so and so, packs up and leaves. I mean, it doesn't say exactly like that, but they go, and then so and so, and then so and so. And then right in the middle of the, procession, but it's not even, it's, right in the middle of this sort of army maneuver, with an equal number of people on every side, goes the sacred vessels of the tabernacle itself. So the, I'm going to get it wrong again. The Maronites and the Girgashites, they're the ones that carry like the furnishings of the tabernacle and the hardware. They set off, and they set off before the, before the folks that carry, Kohathites, before the Kohathites who carry the actual sacred vessels themselves. The idea being that the ones who carry this, the sacred vessels, and remember, they don't get a tractor trailer, they have to carry things themselves. The ones who do that will, the tabernacle will be all set up, so when they arrive with the sacred vessels, they don't have to just like stand around and tap their feet. The tabernacle will be all set up for them in whatever this new place is. But you want to make sure that all the sacred vessels and everything is protected. So it goes in the very middle of that procession, and it moves, can't move very fast. But it doesn't have to move very fast, because after all, from Mount Sinai to Canaan is not that far, right? 11 days, 2 weeks. Surely it's not gonna take too long to get there. But I just want to sort of like note like what that must have been like. Just sort of, clouds don't make any noise when they move. Not in my experience. So you can just imagine the sort of the cloud starts to move. I guess slowly, so they can follow. The cloud starts to move, and they sort of pack, and now it's time to go. The cloud starts to move, the trumpets blow, and the Israelites start packing up, and off they go. After no doubt, I mean, how long must it have taken for them to have packed up, but that's what they do. And as they leave, Moses says, arise, Lord, let your enemies be scattered, right? So we're going off, and they're heading off into what? Like, they're not going from here to Eagle Road to like go to Wawa, right? Like, they're going into some place that they don't know. They're going into a wilderness area that they're not familiar with. Who knows what could be there? What kind of dangers? And so the first thing you do is you say a little prayer to the Lord that he is with you and scatters your enemies in front of you while you go. Also, by the way, the exception to that procession order with Judah at the front, apparently the Ark of the Covenant goes out in front, in very front, even in front of Judah, which is kind of a nice image to the Ark of the Covenant, the folks holding the Ark of the Covenant. I guess it was the maybe it was the guys who carried the Ark of the Covenant, so then maybe they were the very first ones and followed the cloud. Anyway, that was nice. So when they set off, Moses says this prayer, "Let your enemies be scattered." And then when the pillar of cloud came to rest, stopped, you know, wherever it stopped, they stopped. And then Moses would say another little prayer, something like, "All right, God, stick with us. You know, don't go anywhere. Don't leave us alone." And I think that this is a sort of wonderful image, this idea of sort of, it starts going and they start going and Moses says a prayer and then it stops and Moses said a prayer. It's kind of like what it reminds me of is like morning and evening prayer out of the Book of Common Prayer, right? Like the day is starting and so you say, "Protect us, O Lord, in all our doings with thy most gracious favor and further us with thy continual help." You say, any of the morning prayers, right? Govern all things that are about to happen with your wisdom and your providence. And then at the end of the day, you know, now we've come to the setting of the sun, right? Now, you know, stay with us at night. Thank you for the blessings of the day that is of the days that is past. Protect us all all the night and until tomorrow. And that's basically what Moses is saying. All right, we're on the move. All right, Lord, stay with us. You know, okay, we're going to stop. Lord, thank you for getting us safely through whatever we've just traveled through. And, please stay with us while we're here. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of women and children, a lot of livestock. Keep us safe. That's some beautiful piety right there. That's some wonderful leadership right there. I like that. Enjoy this moment of ordered Israelite movement. It's not going to last, but do appreciate how far they've come. They left Egypt as slaves, a sort of undifferentiated mass. They left Egypt as slaves, and now they have been ordered. They have been put into right order. You've got all their names, right? These people have names, they have clans, they have identities, they have responsibilities, right? They're a people. They have been formed into a people, an organized people, a nation. They have roles like the Levites, you know, the Levites have a particular role that they're going to fill. They've come together. They've come together, and now they're all organized, and the Lord is going to lead them with the cloud during the day and the fire at night. The Lord is going to lead them, and they have the law. They're going to follow the law. They know what to do when various things happen. They've been given the calendar. They've been given the schedule. They know, you know, what they're supposed to celebrate when. So this is beautiful, right? This is beautiful. It's not going to last, but I feel like let's just enjoy it while we can. Things are fragile. Things fall apart. But there for a minute, we've got some beautiful Israelite culture, some beautiful sort of family life that we're seeing there. I'm going to leave it at that. Because things come. All right, let us pray. O God, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, have a wonderful rest of your day, St. George's, and we will be back with the Israelites tomorrow.